Turning your Bibles to the book of Hebrews for the New Testament scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13, and we'll read through verse 20. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 13. This is the living, breathed-out Word of God. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves. And with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise an unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That is the word of God. Last week, we looked at the third warning passage in Hebrews, the passage prior to the one we just read. And though about those who remain in infancy and not moving on to maturity, they risk the falling away show themselves to never have truly been God's children. And we learn in verse 12 that we're to follow the good examples of those who have gone before. We are to be imitators of the apostles, now elders, and those godly men who have preceded us, they had assurance that they would inherit the promises. You see the faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, remember that? They have gone before us, and they believed the promises, that they would inherit the promises. And at the right time, they received that inheritance. They received the blessings. They received the promise. And the way it says here that they came to that inheritance, it says, is through faith and patience, verse 12. As they looked forward to the reception of those promised blessings that God would give them at the right time. And now verses 13 through 20. The author gives a clear account of the assured truth, of the assurance that we will have those same promises, that we will receive those same that same inheritance as they, that we'll receive the promises of God. At first, the promises to God's children are confirmed by an oath, by the oath of God. He's not only told Abraham, but also us of what promises he gives to those who receive the gospel in faith. He not only shows it forth by signs and seals, but he provides an oath. His oath still continues as full force because there's no one greater than the Lord. He swore by himself to bless his people. That's what it's saying here. That's what he did with Abraham, if you remember, in Genesis. He swore upon himself. And his oath still continues. It has full force because there is no one greater than the Lord. He swore by himself. Basically, what the Lord did in swearing by himself is say, if I, the Lord, don't keep my promises, then I will be no more. But we know that God can't be no more. God can't be not God. He's eternal. He doesn't change that. So that in swearing by himself, he's saying to you, that it's impossible for me to not keep these promises. It's impossible for me to be unfaithful. It's impossible for me not to bless you, my people. I have to keep my word. He says, I am the Lord. And that's what it means to be the Lord. He has to keep his word. The Lord makes his own promise sure so that you can live in faith and patience towards him. You can believe it. It's not just I'm reluctant faith. It's not a reluctant faith. You're not questioning, well, maybe it's true. No, God is saying this is absolutely true. It's going to happen. Because I made an oath and I swore by myself. The promises of God are all founded on His eternal counsel. That kind of goes back to His oath, but it's based on His eternal counsel, and His eternal counsel is immutable. He has not made His promises in a rash way or too quick, like we often do. When we make promises, we kind of do it off the cuff, and we kind of just, you know, yeah, I promise not to do that, or I'm going to do this. You say, I'm going to be home at such and such a time, and then you're not home. That's not possible with God. He's not making a quick promise. This is eternal. This is based on the eternal counsel, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit counseling together and agreed upon this eternal purpose, and that is the promise to bless His people, God's people, with a great inheritance. And promises that were given to Abraham. A third is promises may safely, for us, be depended upon. It's impossible for God to lie. It says here, Jesus, the Son of God, died so that you could receive these promises. That's how much the promises will they will come to you. Because He sent His Son to die so that you would receive them. He's not going to just take it back and say, no, you're not going to get the promises now. And my son, Jesus, has died in vain. No, He's not going to do that. You can be assured here. You can be assured here of the promises that will come to God's children. And the blessings that will come to God's children. Those who believe in faith, as Abraham believed in faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. So you are heirs according to the promise, as Galatians 3 says. And so now we can take hold of the hope set before us in Christ. We can take hold, we can have hope in this, these promises coming to us. We can be like those accounted for in Hebrews 11, in the faith chapter. And by faith we can look to the promises and know without a shadow of a doubt that we will receive them if we are God's children. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and to assure you that He is the first fruit of believers, both in His resurrection and ascension. Now He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He abides there forever as a high priest. And He's continually, He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as it says here. And so He's pleading for you. Even when you sin and you mess up and before God and God the Father looks down upon you. He sees the sin. He doesn't see you anymore. Now He sees Jesus and His righteousness. And the Son Jesus is pleading for you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them because of my sacrifice. And because of this, Father, give them the promises. Give them all blessing and all the inheritance that you have given to me, of which I am the first born among many brethren. So we can have hope. Let us have hope then. And the promises given to us through Abraham. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the covenant that You made with Abraham, the covenant that in the New Testament oftentimes is that covenant which communicates the covenant of grace. That by faith, Abraham was credited as righteousness. Why? Because of Jesus Christ's righteousness and taking upon Abraham's sin on the cross, and He's taking our sin upon Himself at the cross. And so as we believe in faith, so we will receive that righteousness, and we will receive the promises of a great inheritance. And that Abraham's descendants are multiplied, a number that is greater than the sand of the seashore and greater than the stars in the heavens. And we are part of that number. And we are part of that number which now come and worship You with all the myriads of angels as we just saw in Revelation. And Father, so we pray. We praise You for Your promises that you've given through Abraham, and that we would be part of these blessings and this great inheritance, one that he saw as he was to receive that promised land, that physical land of Israel, but which pointed forward, and as Abraham saw, it pointed forward to a new a heavenly country, of which we will be with him, with Jesus, forever and ever. And so we look forward to that day. Just to be a doorkeeper in the gates is greater than anything we could ever imagine. And yet you will put us right there next to Jesus on the throne. We will reign with him forever and ever. Father, we pray that you would bring these blessings soon. We live in the present evil age, the age full of sin, and we experience sin ourselves. We are sinful still, even as your people. Now, we pray that you would sanctify us, mortify our sin, cause us to put to death our sin by your Spirit, working in us and strengthening us. And work your word in our hearts that we would put off sin, and that sin could not be in the same presence as the word of God in our hearts. Father, we pray that we would love you and we would rid ourselves of all idolatry and all pride and all sin. And we pray that you would give us hope, those who struggle with their faith, those who struggle with trusting or have doubts about what might be at the end of our lives after death, what comes. There might be doubts there. We pray that you would give us hope and assurance because of the word we just read. And that you would cause us, because of this hope and because of these promises that you've given, to persevere in this life. The message of Hebrews, persevere in this life. That we would be granted to be that place to be with you forever. And that's what you long for. You pray for it in John 17. Jesus prayed for it, that we would be with him. And so we long for that day when we would be with him. And yet we know, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, cause us to persevere in this life, that we would live for the glory and the name of Christ. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.